Psalm 121. Let's begin with prayer. Father in heaven, you neither slumber nor sleep. In faith, our eyes are lifted up to you to deliver us. Keep us from all evil. Watch over our coming and going, and bring us into your eternal kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
All right, Psalm 121. Let's read the psalm together.
I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in, from this time forth and forevermore. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. All right, if you look in your Bible, which you don't have to, but you'll notice there's a little heading over this psalm and the surrounding psalms, starting at Psalm 120 to Psalm 134, and it says, a song of ascents. A song of ascents. So this group of psalms, 15 psalms here, are known as the Psalms of Ascent. What does the word ascent mean?
To go up.
So these are the psalms of going up. There are a couple of possible explanations for why these are called the Psalms of Ascent. These psalms may have been used, there are three possibilities. These psalms may have been used as part of the temple liturgy. So when they went into the temple, when they were passing from the court of women into the court of the Israelites, these might have been psalms that were traditionally used. So as part of their religious life, they're going, you can think of them as going into the temple saying, I lift up my eyes to the hills, from where does my help come from? Maybe these were psalms sung on the steps of the temple during one of the great festival times. That's one possibility. Another possibility is that these might be pilgrim psalms. Psalms for while you're journeying on the way. If you know anything about the geography of of Israel, even to this day, where does Jerusalem sit? Where is Jerusalem located? It's located on a hill. It's up high. If you're going to Jerusalem, you have to go up, right? George's favorite cycling routes, right there. So, you got to go up. You have to make the ascent. So these may be called Psalms of Ascent because they were used, possibly sung by pilgrims as they're going up to Jerusalem and they're approaching Jerusalem's hills. These psalms frequently mention Zion and they mention Jerusalem, so that's what gives that idea. Another possibility is these might have been psalms that were used by the people of Judea when they returned from Babylon in captivity, coming back to Jerusalem. These also aren't mutually exclusive. They may have been used in the temple service. They may have been used by those who were headed to the temple. They may have been used by those coming out of captivity. So here's the image I want you to have as we think about this psalm, especially the opening words. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? I want to end with a preposition, but I shouldn't do that. From where does my help come? Not where does my help come from? Okay. Picture yourself, as you say these words, a pilgrim headed toward Jerusalem, and you're viewing the hills of Jerusalem. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? What is the attitude of the psalmist? How do you picture the mood of the psalmist praying this psalm?
Happy.
Okay, they're seeing the hills in front of you, and they are thrilled and excited about going to where the hills are, right? That might be one. What else? Betty?
Confidence.
Okay, there is a sort of confidence here, yeah. Maybe even a sense of being overwhelmed at the blessing of God, of God's presence. There is an alternate sort of sense in which one could say that the hills, if you're thinking of the hill of Jerusalem, it's a blessing, but the hills in general may not have been considered particularly safe places. So if you simply thought of the hills, you might think of the enemy coming down from the hills. But here he lifts his eyes up. Maybe he's been downcast and he can now see the hill of Jerusalem and he's overwhelmed with joy as he approaches God's throne. What is he going to find as he approaches the hills?
Is he looking for help?
He's looking for help, yeah. Where is he going to find help? He's going to find help from his God, right? Not simply from the hills by virtue of being hills, but he's going to find help from his God as he looks up to the hills. So picture a pilgrim on a journey, and this is a psalm of a pilgrim. Now, when we think of ourselves, in what way can we think of ourselves as pilgrims on a journey? This isn't our home, right? We are making a pilgrimage as well. We're not headed to Jerusalem. We're headed to the Jerusalem that is above, and this can be a psalm for us as we head there. I'd like, with that idea of being a pilgrim in mind, I'd like to read a couple of verses from the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body, by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. So this image of being a pilgrim who is on the way, and this is a pilgrim psalm for us. Now I'd like to go back and take it section by section. So we'll read the first two. We'll take it two verses at a time. All right, Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. What characteristics or activities of God do we notice here in these verses? Okay, his creation. He's the one who created heaven and earth. The hills are the hills that he made. And he also owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. So he looks to God as the one who made heaven and earth. How does God, being the maker of heaven and earth, give us comfort in a time of need? How does that offer us help?
He's powerful. He has all power.
Okay, he's
powerful. No matter what happens.
He's all powerful, right? If he made everything, right, then there's a lot of confidence we can have in our God.
I was going to say he's the ultimate arbitrator. I mean, you know, he decides how things are going to go, left or right, forward. He's got the ultimate.
Okay, so he makes decisions about how things go, right? If we're going to have help, it's going to come from him. Michael?
He's like a parent.
Okay. That parent relationship, right? So we can think about, through creation, God is the father of everyone. We think of God as our father, particularly through Christ in the church, but he's the father of everyone. The first article of the Apostles' Creed, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. What do we believe with that? Well, we believe that God made us and all creatures. So it's not just that, you know, that there's something intimate and personal about the way that God made us and created us. How would you describe God in those first two verses, along with creator? What other title might you give to God in those first two verses?
Helper.
He's my helper, right? Which is an interesting word. You know where else the word helper occurs? Maybe the first place it occurs in the scriptures?
Eve,
right? God says of Adam, it's not good that you are alone. Let me make a helper for you. And I bring it up because sometimes people might think that that word helper is a sort of dismissive word, right? That just a helper for the man. Well, guess who else is called a helper in the scriptures? God is a helper, right? So that title of helper, I always put it two ways with the man. First of all, it says that the man needs help. He needs help. Second of all, that title of helper given to the woman is a, you might say it's a sort of divine title. Not that she's God, but God gives her a title reflective of who he is and what he does, that he is our help. So that comes to my mind as we think of this psalm. So we've got looking to the hills, where does my help come from? Maybe wondering at first, where's my help going to come from? Oh yeah, my help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. A wonderful comfort for us. As we think about the hills, I already mentioned, the hills both speak of God's creation. You look at Monadnock or Wachusett, or you look at Monadnock from Wachusett, and you're amazed to see the hills that God has made. Right? These amazing things that he has fashioned. So God's power is spoken of by the hills. The holy mountain where his city is set is a hill. But we also can think of the wild animals and robbers that might come from the hills. So there's a sort of ambiguity here. Is he looking at the hills in fear, or is he looking at the hills in confidence? Now, when we pray this psalm as Christians, when we say, I lift up my eyes to the hills, from where does my help come? What might we be thinking of? What hill might we have in mind?
Calvary.
We might be thinking about Calvary, the mountain where our Lord was crucified. And other mountains too, Mount of Transfiguration, where our Lord revealed himself, the mountain where the Lord ascended into heaven, right? So we look to I lift up my eyes and look to the hills. Where does my help come from? It comes from the one who on the mountain was crucified for us. Verses 3 and 4. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. How is God described here? What does he do?
Protector.
Okay, he's a protector, right? How does he protect us?
Constantly.
Okay, constantly, because he never sleeps, he never slumbers, he never dozes off. You know, his mind never wanders the way that ours do. And suddenly, oh, I forgot about my creation, let me check in again. It doesn't happen to him. I'm reminded of Elijah when he's on Mount Carmel and they have that contest. The false prophets sacrifice their bull. They want their God's attention. And Elijah sacrifices a bull to the Lord. Elijah mocks them. They spend all day calling out to their God. And Elijah says at one point, maybe your God is sleeping. Maybe he's sleeping. Shout a little louder. Wake him up. Horton hears a who. That's the Dr. Seuss book, right? Just shout a little louder so they he knows you're there, right? He can't quite hear you. Our God does not slumber or sleep. He does not let our foot be moved. What does it mean that he does not let our foot be moved? He doesn't let you slip, right? What? Oh, you cheated. You looked at the study notes, right? He doesn't let you slip. Right? A foot that moves here is like someone who totters and slips and falls, who stumbles. What?
Not straightening your path.
Yeah, not letting you straighten your path. So there's something solid and firm. He keeps your feet on the path. Right? Grand Canyon, you go down. How narrow are those roads going down? Right? He will not let your foot... The way may be narrow, as the scriptures say, but he will not let your foot be moved. And he who keeps you, keeps Israel, will neither slumber nor sleep. This beautiful image of a God who is always awake, who is always attentive, who is always caring for his people. Verses 5 and 6. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. What images do we have here for God? He's a protector. He's your shade. What do we think of with shade? What does shade do for you?
Cool. Protection.
Keeps you cool.
Keeps you cool, right? I think here in Massachusetts, we're not so, we're hoping for a little less shade from the sun in the coming months, right? But it protects you. It keeps you from heat stroke and sunstroke and sunburn and all those things. So God is pictured as a sort of shelter, or you might even have the image here of a shade of a mother hen with her wings over her chicks, protecting them and keeping them safe. That image here. So you have the idea of a shelter, the idea of shade at noon. Where else do we hear this image? Oh, Carl?
The question I have in this particular passage is, I get sun analogy.
Yeah.
I just have a little trouble with the moon, Mark, because, I mean, there are times it's pretty bright, but very few that I'd ever really need to go like this. So I
right.
just have a little trouble with that.
You don't have your moon shades, right? I don't know particularly, aside from the parallelism of sun and moon, or you might say that the heavenly elements, right? And there may be at this time, as there are, have been in a lot of cultures, a strong sense of the heavenly elements sort of playing a role in our lives, sort of a shelter and protection from that aspect of things. The other thing is that the parallel, when you move to the book of Revelation, what is one of the great promises that the book of Revelation makes? There will be no night, no sun, and no moon. But the Lamb in the midst of the city is our God. So this psalm here is sort of looking ahead to that promise. You know, not only does God protect us now from the sun and the moon, and you might say, maybe another image with the moon is the image of things, evil things happening in the darkness or at night.
Yeah.
Right? So maybe it's not from the moon rays as much as from the things that happen at night. Marilyn?
Because when there's a full moon, we'd be exposed to enemies.
Okay, maybe the full moon exposes you to enemies, right? So it could be something along those lines. Yeah, certainly. But this idea, day and night, that he is protecting us, that he is sheltering us, until the time comes when we no longer need any shelter from these things, because these things will have passed away. And there are a lot of these parallels between like sun and moon, those things. All right, verses 7 and 8. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. What do we hear in this passage, in these verses?
He'll protect us forever.
He'll protect us forever, right? Reminds me of a sort of answer to our prayer, deliver us from evil. Here we hear the other side of it, the Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. How do we believe this to be true? Can we look at our life and say, well, I've been kept from all evil? No, we've been kept from a lot of evil. But there is evil that happens to us or in our lives. Joanne?
But his promise that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his will.
There is the promise, right?
Even if evil happens to you, trusting in God makes you aware that even though you can't see it now, whatever evil has happened to you is going to be used for your good.
Yeah, so he will. We believe that he will deliver us from all evil. But this is something that we believe by faith and not by sight. We've talked about this before with the Psalms. We don't say these words because I can point to how God has kept all evil from my life. But we say these words because we believe that it is true, even when our lives may look differently at times. Go ahead, Joanne.
And also, there's a spiritual war going on, and we don't even know what evil is.
We have no idea the evil that he's protected us from. You're absolutely right. Right? I mean, we tend to only see the things that have happened and miss all the things that haven't happened. Karen?
In the end, he is protecting us from the eternal.
Absolutely. Right. The greatest evil of all, he has kept us from. Ed?
New King James gives us preserve.
Okay.
Like a sense of that he will preserve us through.
Yeah, he will preserve, so the Lord will preserve you from all evil. Yeah. And preserve means he will be with you through it, right? not keep it away, but he will keep you in the midst of. He will preserve you in the midst of evil. The last verse, the Lord will keep you going out and you're coming in from this time forth and forevermore. I love that verse because it's very comprehensive. You're going and you're coming from now and forevermore, so you have both distance covered and you have time fully covered as well by God's care. You might think of this as being a verse to hold on to for your vocations, your callings in life, your daily occupations. As your day begins, the Lord will keep you, keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Or if we go back to that idea of being a pilgrim, when is our pilgrimage? Our pilgrimage is from birth to death, or you might say from baptism to death, and it is on our pilgrimage that God will be with us, that he will keep us as we go out and we come in from this time forth and forevermore. Where do we hear those words? On Sunday mornings, when have you heard those words? The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore.
Perhaps we'll say that that's a closing blessing.
Okay, the closing blessing could be, yeah. What else?
After communion?
Not so much after communion. No. Not before communion. Keep going. Start with the invocation. It's part of, it's very familiar. It's part of the baptismal rite. Part of the baptismal rite. So, not every Sunday. No, not every Sunday. Maybe I missaid that. But it's part of the baptismal rite. The Lord, keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore as they set out on that journey. When might you envision using this psalm? In your own life, maybe at a funeral. It is part of the committal rite, so often I'll read this psalm when the casket is being brought from the hearse to the gravesite. This psalm will be used. When else might you envision using this psalm?
Travel.
What?
Travel.
Travel, yeah. Certainly in travel. You're going, you're coming, right? In times of, or any maybe any time of transition, in some ways, we can see it as being a helpful psalm to pray. On a sick bed, right? Maybe especially in the evening, or thinking about the end times, or at the end of a year, some, sort of that transition point as well, this psalm could be really helpful. Or also when saying, not only when you're traveling, but when someone else is traveling. So you have a loved one who's going to be departing. Farewell and Godspeed. This psalm would be a wonderful psalm to use in that sort of a time. Any questions or comments that you have on this psalm? Betty?
Yes. In verse 3, I look at that differently. There could be mood. I was looking at it that to a believer, nothing is going to happen without the Lord allowing it.
Okay. So... Yeah, so God will oversee and He will see all things and take care of you. Nothing will happen apart from Him allowing it. Yeah, permitting it. Yeah. Any other comments or notes on this psalm?
Just thinking about verse 8. You know, and view that as a time of real vulnerability when you're coming and going.
Yes.
Not when you're in your fortress, when you're out. You're still vulnerable in your fortress too, but keep your coming going this time forever. I feel that it's like a feeling of vulnerability when you're outside and you're safe or something.
Yeah, so a time of travel is a time of vulnerability,
yeah,
as you said.
You put outside every day, or your pilgrimage, or your
right. The most dangerous time is when you step foot outside your door, right?
Even just when you're feeling alone.
Yes, absolutely. A time of loneliness, or it's a psalm of trust, a psalm of hope as well. So that time, when we're setting out, or we're besieged, or anything like that, we're leaving the compound, we're headed out of church, and we need this psalm as our help and support. So, well, I'd like to read it for us one more time, and then we will leave our compound here and head out to our lives. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The Lord bless, preserve your coming in and your going out from this time forth and even forevermore. Amen. Amen. Psalm 136 next week.